Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, Dexter Fisher on his upcoming term as mayor of Athens.
We're going to hit the ground running, and we're going to let the community help us develop our strategic plan as we move forward. I think that's important to me, that community have a say in how they want the next 4 years to be.
And breaking the stigma around grieving a pet.
From the moment you wake up through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you. Through all you have to do, we'll bring you all you need to know every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Laura Dua-Swartz. Athens-Clarke County has chosen its future mayor following a five-candidate primary and a final runoff election last week. Dexter Fisher will take office in January as the first Black mayor of Athens. He sat down to discuss what it took to win this tightly contested race and give an overview of his goals for his term in office. Here's that conversation.
What would you say to your supporters and those people who just came out and really put their heart and money and time into your campaign?
Well, I think for me, you know, 38 years of being in this community, building relationships, building partnerships with people. And I think a lot of people got behind me because they felt like I was the right man to lead this community over the next 4 years. They believed in me, believed in my vision, what I stand for, my commitment to this community. So I think that's why a lot of people invested their time and money. I had a great campaign team. They did yeoman's job. And, you know, and the last 7 months, and, you know, we started this journey 7 months ago, and my team, they was Cracker Jacks, and they were A1. So I really appreciate that. You know, Jim Mazzorn was my campaign manager. Chris Sotero, my fundraising chair. Joanne Echols was my volunteer coordinator. Tiana Nguyen was part of our social media, along with Cameron J. Harrison. So I just had this great team working with us to really, you know, make this campaign, I think what I call a great campaign, and help us make a great run to be the next mayor of Athens.
You are obviously the mayor for all of Athens. So
yes.
What about people who chose a different candidate? You're going to represent them as well. What would you say
yes.
to them?
So, again, what I said on the radio with another station, I said, look, to your point, I'm the mayor for everybody. You know, four of the candidates that ran, I'm hoping to meet with them and talk with them about some of their issues and concerns and what they'd like to see and see what type of common ground that we can come to and, you know, and maybe champion some of their issues. Also, with the people who did not support me, I want them to know that I'm going to be the mayor for them. Whether you voted for me or not, I'm going to be your mayor. If you call me, because see, when you call me, I don't know who voted for me, who didn't. You know, my thing would be, how can I help? And that's what I've always been about. How can I help you in whatever you're dealing with, or what can we do as a government to help you and make your life better?
And I know you discussed this at multiple debates and roundtables and town halls, but could you once again tell us your priorities that you ran on?
We're really on a number of things. You know, the thing that we talked about when we was going around, knocking on doors and doing meet and greet, everybody was dealing with housing, our homeless issue, our infrastructure, our youth development, you know, and then and our workforce development. And what I'm going to do, election, my first 100 days when I get sworn in January, we're going to hit the ground running, and we're going to let the community help us develop our strategic plan as we move forward. I think that's important to me, that community have a say how they want the next 4 years to be. And if those two or three things are housing, homelessness, youth development, whatever they are, then those would be the things that we would concentrate on, along with my 10 other colleagues, to make, you know, to make things better for the people in this community. Because we got a lot of work to do, and I understand that. We got some issues. But I also want to bring this community together. I want us to be as one Athens, us working as a community to make the best of what we can do to make Athens the classic city that we know it could be.
And you have a long history with UGA. What would you say about the importance of town-gown relations and the community of Athens and the relationship with UGA?
I think that's so critical. Actually, I probably was the only candidate from day one would have a relationship with UGA. And I went to the president on Monday before the Tuesday's election. And he texted me also this morning and congratulated me. So we're going to get together, have some discussions, and start bringing that town and gown back together again. Because, you know, with us, to me, it's about partnerships. We need to make sure that we're working together to help one another. UGA can offer so much to this community, but at the same time, Athens has a lot to offer also to UGA. So we want to be partners as we move forward. And I think that's key. And I can think from day one, probably within the next several months, I'll be sitting down with the president, also with Athens Tech, with Dr. Scott, with the Clark County School District, and start thinking about how can we, all three of us, work together, not only for our K-12, but for higher ed, and for what resources we can bring to the table, not only from us, but the resources that they can bring to the table to help our community.
And finally, you are mayor-elect, but you're also a commissioner for Athens-Clarke County. What's the next thing for you, the next step?
So we'll probably, I'm going to continue to serve the people in District 5 until December, but we'll probably this fall, Mayor Gertz and I will probably get together and start working on some transition and some things that we're going to have to do, because I get sworn in on the first Tuesday in January, which would be not only it'll be a voting meeting, be a regular meeting for us. So whatever that December agenda is, I'll probably put most of that together, work along with our current mayor. And then we hit the ground running. But I'm probably going to start doing some stuff now to get us ready for 2027. We got three new commissioners that's coming on. So we got to bring them up to speed, because I told everybody, put your running shoes on because we're going to work. So I think to me, and that's going to be the thing, running shoes and going to work. So we're going to go to work, you know? So, we're going to make it happen.
Well, thank you once again for speaking with me.
Thank you, Alexa. Appreciate you having me on today.
Dexter Fisher is the mayor-elect for Athens-Clarke County. Athens artist Babs Call has experience with many different mediums. She's always looking for the next challenge. WUGA's Maura Potvin has more.
Well, I've always been an artist. And I just got into this and got hooked. It's addictive.
Babs Call has been working with oil paint, acrylic paint, and a ton of other mediums her entire life.
My dad showed me how to do oil painting when I was probably 6 or 7, so I've always done some art. And I've been fortunate enough that I've been able to do it all this time and learn so much. And it's been quite a journey.
Since 2000, she's also made glass art, like stained and fused glass.
I'm doing it because I love to do it, and I'm learning new things all the time and experimenting. And I'm part of a network of fused glass artists that has been meeting every Saturday for an hour since 2019 during COVID. So we learn a lot from each other, and I can reach out to them anytime, which is good.
Her experimentation is very clear if you take a walk around her studio. Everywhere you look, there's a unique project that's in progress or was recently finished.
And I made this for Valentine's for my husband. It's a replica of his Little League hat. So that took me 3 times to get that one done, but it's done.
Lately, Babs has been working with Frit, which is glass that's been finely ground into a powder. Frit comes at different levels of coarseness, so it can be used to create a lot of different effects in a project.
This method of using the glass powders and frits, I learned from an instructor who's in North Carolina, and spent 5 days with her. I stayed with her, and we did glass like 24 hours a day. It was wonderful. I learned so much. And now I'm part of her particular group. So it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Babs' art has allowed her to connect with local galleries like the Winterville Cultural Center. She recently had a case of various kinds of glass art on display there.
people have to walk by it going in, and so that's been a real good source to, and they asked me to fill the case, and as things sell, which they've been selling, I've been taking new stuff out.
Bab says she has no plans of slowing down anytime soon. She's teaching herself watercolor right now, and she's always seeing new signs of inspiration and ready to try something new. For WUGA, I'm Maura Potvin.
Babs recently had a painting accepted into the 2026 National Juried Exhibition of the Georgia Watercolor Society showing, and selections of her work are currently available at the Madison Cultural Center. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
Here Now brings you the latest news from around the country.
I have a life brimming with people who've made different choices, and I've never tried in my personal life to impose my choices on them.
Seems to me that people are being responsible, and yet it keeps spreading.
I've been door knocking and making phone calls and working in offices. I'm willing to do anything for this man.
Hear the latest news as it develops on the next Here and Now from NPR News.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Laura Dewis-Swartz. College Square is the pedestrian area across from the iconic UGA Arch, stretching from East Broad Street to East Clayton Street. It's an Athens landmark in its own right, marking the junction between downtown Athens and the UGA campus. And, as anyone who's been downtown lately can tell you, the area is under long-term construction. The Athens-Clarke County government, in collaboration with the Athens Downtown Development Authority, is redesigning College Square with an eye towards pedestrian accessibility, connectivity between businesses, and improved paving and lighting. David Lynn, the Director of Planning and Outreach for the Athens Downtown Development Authority, sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss the project. Here's that conversation.
So College Square has been closed since 2020. It was closed as a response to COVID-19. And then in 2021, the Mayor and Commission of Athens-Clarke County actually voted to close it permanently. So my first question is, what has the ADDA learned since 2020 about the College Square area?
That's a lot. College Square didn't really exist as a specialized square until 1981, when it was initially redeveloped from just a standard two-way intersection. But that time it was created into a plaza, a square, so to speak. But the decision was made not to close it to vehicular traffic because of concerns from merchants there who depended on short-term parking. And historically, and even up to COVID, the DDA has opposed street closures of this sort because, you know, that short-term ability to pull up in front of the shoe shop or Old Barnett's was important to merchants. But what we learned through the COVID experience was that essentially community voted with its feet. Functionally, the square started working very well. Almost any time of day, you would see people out there under the picnic tables, socializing, eating their lunch, with laptops up, et cetera. So the decision was made to close it permanently to vehicular traffic. But where the DDA stepped in, and we didn't want it to continue to look like what it was, an abandoned roadway. Downtown Athens and the community as a whole deserves a central plaza that they can call their own, and it enables a handshake, so to speak, between the university campus and downtown.
And can you give us an overview of what this project is intended to do?
The project will convert an abandoned roadway into a beautiful plaza. The sidewalks will be seamless with the plaza. You won't even notice that there was a road there anymore. The texture will change from asphalt to a herringbone pattern of bricks and granite. There'll be significant trees established from the beginning. We're growing those trees through a firm called Select Trees out in Oconee County, and they will be impactful from day one. We're also installing something called shade sails. One of the most significant inputs we got from our public engagement process was the desire for shade. And it's certainly hot in Georgia in the summertime. And folks that wanted to gather there didn't want to be sitting out in a frying pan. So between the trees that we've selected and the shade sails, it should be fairly comfortable year-round.
And how is this project being funded?
The Athens Downtown Development Authority also manages all of the street parking downtown, as well as two parking decks. And we don't own that parking. We administer it on behalf of Athens-Clark County. And the revenues after expenses are split between the two organizations. So to answer your question directly, it's being paid by parking revenue.
It seems like there are going to be a number of structures like tables that will presumably be bolted down in College Square. Will community events like concerts and vendors markets that have occurred there over the years, will they still occur there?
Certainly. The tables will be secured so they don't walk off, but they won't be bolted down. Mm-hmm. And they'll be light enough to where event planners can move those around as needed or move them out of the square entirely for the duration of the event. Part of our engagement process was with most of the event planners in Athens, and they just and we ensured that we could still fit in a stage that Leisure Services has, so bands and things like that could perform. It's not going to accommodate the largest events in Athens. You're not going to see Athfest move there because it's just not enough space. But some of the smaller but still impactful events we feel could find a home there.
How has construction been going? Can you give us an update on when College Square is slated to open?
That has been amazing. Any streetscape project is difficult. There's always delays. But in this project, the firm that we selected to do the work, Sheridan Construction, has been going like gangbusters. We have a deadline of the first home game in Athens. September 5th is the date we've circled that we have to be finished. And they've been working literally day and night to make that happen. And both the new park on Washington and Lumpkin, as well as College Square, we've had a gracious donor donate two pieces of Harold Rittenberry sculpture, who's a noted local sculptor, and a piece called Emissary will be installed at the new park next to the Costa Building. But a very interesting piece, a museum-worthy piece called The Byzantine Night will be installed in College Square.
David Lynn, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
David Lynn is Director of Planning and Outreach for the Athens Downtown Development Authority. The death of a pet can be challenging. Specialists in pet loss say there is even stigma around grieving a companion animal. But specialists in Athens are working not only to help individuals, but to change the narrative around losing a pet. Here's that story.
On a warm summer day, Elijah Liu is sitting on his front steps in East Athens with his dog, Tara. With big, pointy ears and a black and white spotted coat, Tara soaks up the sunshine and bird song. Until recently, Tara had a doggy sibling.
His name was Charlie. He was probably 5 years old.
Charlie had a spinal condition that led to paralysis. Lou's family tried surgery and physical therapy, but instead of getting better, Charlie got worse.
We decided that it was best to just kind of let him have a dignified end before things got like really, really bad.
Lou had become an integral part of Charlie's functioning, helping him move and changing his diapers. Charlie's death was really difficult for Lou.
I struggled with a lot of guilt for like a long time. What if I had done this type of rehab instead of that type of rehab, or like what if I had kept up with it?
Lou isn't the only one to struggle with processing the loss of a pet. But since he once worked in pet cremation, he has a special perspective on the death of pets. He says grieving a pet is a unique type of loss, specifically because it isn't taken seriously.
There's a lot of disenfranchised grief that I saw And a lot of people who just felt ashamed for feeling as upset as they were.
This idea of disenfranchised grief, that people don't have the right to feel the way they do about their lost pet, is something Shannon Waters fights against every day in her work as a pet loss bereavement specialist.
A pet loss bereavement specialist is someone who has the capacity to hold someone metaphorically as they are in their grief, to sort of walk with them through this process and listen and validate what they're saying.
Waters says that people who specialize in recovering from the loss of a pet are a necessary part of the therapy landscape because they're trained not to minimize the grief.
People tend to not believe that the animal is even worth grieving. Like, a lot of people don't understand if they aren't attached to an animal themselves.
Twice a month, Waters holds a pet loss circle in Athens at her business, Vibrant Being.
Each person gets a chance to speak. They all the time they need to speak, and then we can respond to that or not.
She says people often talk about how the death of their pet occurred, share photos, and process grief together.
That is how you move through grief, is to feel it. Unfortunately, you have to feel it to be able to adapt to your new life.
Waters says she's also been trained to spot so-called red flags, signs that people need to see a licensed therapist.
Maybe you're not eating as well. Maybe you're really thinking about it a lot. Maybe your physical and emotional responses are pretty intense still. Those would be moments that I would say that's a time to say, hey, listen, you know, I need help. I don't have to do this by myself.
That's Noelle Browning, a clinical counselor at the University of Georgia Veterinary Teaching Hospital. Part of her job is to help pet owners navigate the difficult decisions they make when their pets are being cared for. She agrees that grief for pets is minimized, but that it's different from losing a human in other ways.
There's a part of our heart that opens up to an animal that we don't allow humans into. Animals aren't going to talk back. They're often not going to hold a grudge unless it's maybe a naughty little cat.
Browning adds that the grief that comes with losing a pet can also add onto mental and physical issues that people already deal with. Shannon Waters, the certified pet loss bereavement specialist, says a lot of people she's met swear off ever owning another pet because of how painful the loss can be. So why do people welcome more pets into their homes?
Because of the way it feels. They're the first thing you see in the morning. And they're happy to see you. No matter how successful you are in life or not, or what you look like, or what you weigh, they're always happy to see you. They're your companion.
In Athens, Waters and others make room for the loss of these companions, and space to honor the grief for them that is so often pushed aside. For WUGA News, I'm Emma Auer.
You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Haviva Saltz. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org, and will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening, and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.